Yeah, they had a big delay. I don't know, it was something that we used.
Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome. Today is January 18th. It is 9 a.m. We will call the Board of County Commissioners meeting to order at this time. Commissioner Haskins, would you please lead us in invocations?
Yes, sir. Father, thank you for a week full of promise. Lead us in your ways and fill our hearts with joy. Help us to see others as you see them. Father, we ask that you guide us in every decision and conversation, all for your glory. In Jesus Christ's name, we
pray. Amen. Our ladies of the Daughters of the American Revolution are with us. Will you please lead us in the pledge this morning?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, ladies. Roll call.
Commissioner Peter Stovall.
Here.
Commissioner Haskins.
Here.
Commissioner Weasley.
I'm here. Any changes to the agenda?
No change, Commissioner. Ask the board to remove item 8D. Being consideration of U.S. Economic Development Administration's National Environmental Policy Act, Environmental Merit.
Motion, please.
I move to approve the agenda with the recommendation as noted.
Second motion. Commissioner Haskins.
Yes.
Commissioner Weasley.
Stovall.
Yes.
Commissioner Weasley.
Yes. Consideration of minutes. Item A, special meeting minutes of December 17th, 2021. We've had the opportunity to review. There are no questions or comments at this time or changes. Entertaining motion, please.
Move for approval of the special meeting minutes of December 17th, 2021.
I second the motion.
Commissioner Peter Stovall.
Yes.
Commissioner Haskins.
Yes.
Commissioner Weasley.
Yes, reading correspondence, Commissioner and Committee reports. Commissioner Haskins, would you like to go first?
On January 6th, we had a legislative roundtable. The county and the city take turns every other year hosting this event at the Pioneer Room of the College. This valuable meeting is held annually. The county and the city take turns hosting the pertinent dialogues exchanged with congressmen and legislators alike that impacts Los Angeles County and Trinidad. Assistance and information is solicited from all involved for the betterment of our community. On the 10th of January, UL's mine has their project update. Production has been pretty flat November through December with their target performance at 60% right now. Housing and COVID being the primary problems that are occurring. The rail, the design is finished. Basic service cleanup and property owner notification and communications are being held at this time. And three bridges need significant work for stabilization in the water for those bridges that have the pillars that are in the water. Any of them have to be brought to current standards. On the 13th of January, I attended the Natural Working Lands Strategic Plan meeting. This meeting was hosted by the Colorado Department of Ag. Les Owens, Christy Bowen, and Cindy Lair were the presenters. This was the second such meeting with more to follow. These meetings were to address President Biden's administration to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. These meetings are to get community feedback and topics of discussion revolving around agriculture, urban greenway, wetlands, and riparian areas. Increasing soil carbon, agriculture, and protecting agriculture lands were the primary focus, and food security was also brought to the table. That's all I have.
Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Lopez.
Yes, thank you. Good morning, everyone. Again, on the 6th, all three of us attended the legislative roundtable discussion. One of the points that we highlighted was the opioid settlement and the opioid pandemic that's happening not only here in Colorado, but nationwide. The perspective of where we are right now, the settlement is going on with the Attorney General's office, and Colorado is up to probably receiving possibility right now, $385 million, with possibility of actually making it $400 million. One of the good things is that all 64 counties signed the agreement to join forces with the Attorney General, and that's going to provide possibly the $400 million. One of the most important highlighted perspectives of that meeting was that we have those dollars for 18 consecutive years. So when you take $400 million population distribution, we are now working, I've been working from the beginning with the Attorney General's office and the statewide county commissioners group. The distribution formula is going to be a little complex. It's going to be areas of high impact, which Los Angeles County and the southern part of the state are going to be probably getting an additional dollar simply because of the high impact that we have had, along with the population per capita. When they distribute the dollars at this point in time, one of the things that we're hoping to find out is how much is Region 19 going to be receiving. We don't know that. We're in the planification process, and this plan is a two-year working plan. What we discovered it was that for the next 2022, there is not going to be any dollars allocated outside of the $20,000 grant that we applied for and has already been received for the planning and discussion. And basically, in a sense, we have hired someone at Region 19 to begin to help us to put a plan together. So when the monies are there, the dollars can begin to go. Part of the opioid dollars, one of the things that we want to do is obviously we fought and we stood together as counties to take the authority from the legislature. Because the legislature, what they wanted to do is create a special account at the Denver perspective and level, and they wanted to manage the dollars. We worked together, including the Attorney General, agreed with us that these dollars should be given to the counties. So the counties will be getting 60%. Basically, counties and municipalities direct allocation of these dollars, because we work at the county level. We, in a sense, know what's happening here. And there is a whole lot more information going on in there. On the 10th of January, we also had a meeting with Region 19. We had a presenter from Broward County, and one of the presentations that we had was the impact of marijuana on school kids. My question from a few years ago, I had an opportunity to attend a national conference in Washington, D.C., and I asked the question, and I keep asking it, is marijuana a gateway drug? And the answer is, could be. Well, we know it is. Because for me, you know, the perspective is that these individuals that are beginning to get into the use of illicit drugs, even though marijuana is legal in Colorado, and they keep going to the next level and to the next level. So we're going to be looking at that. One of the big perspectives that we're looking also is the health, the behavioral health perspective that is going to happen post-COVID-19 and post, basically, the settlement of the opioids. Some of the services that we are still lacking is detoxification centers in southern Colorado. If we really want to provide treatment for someone, it could be up to 90 days to get it completely detoxed. And there are so many other factors behaviorally that we need to be working with. But I, on behalf of Region 19, we are working hard to put a plan together that's going to work for these 9 counties. And obviously, we don't want to duplicate services and distribute the dollars to where the dollars can make a bigger impact. On the 10th of January, I attended a meeting with the Scenic Highway of Legends. On the board meeting, one of the things that we're looking at on that particular group is the signage that exists between North Los Angeles County coming on I-25 leading up to Highway of Legends. We are there could be an opportunity to apply for a grant where I'm working with Mr. Doran Camp to see the possibilities to actually look into that. Tons of opportunity for signage, perhaps even a charging station on Highway 12. if that would be the case. So we're going to be looking into perspectives of that particular grant opportunity. On the 10th, as Commissioner has also mentioned, Climate Smart Agriculture, presented by the Colorado Department of Ag. The feedback in the sessions that these individuals are collecting through the Department of Agriculture is conservation lands and how many more acres can be put on conservation. Of course, you know, my thing is always taking back when you take productive lands in a sense off the tax rolls, somebody's gonna hurt on the other end, special districts, school districts, fire districts, so on and so forth. But as Commissioner has mentioned, they're collecting information as we go on. The January 12th, I attended a meeting with Fort Carson, the programmatic agreement. And if you haven't had an opportunity, for those of you, go out to Fort Carson and look at the website that they have. The they have a responsibility to the citizenry to inform any activity that's going on in Pinyon Canyon. And so right now there was a huge discussion at this particular meeting between the tribal representatives and Fort Carson based upon some of the designated areas that are archaeologically and historically designated within Fort Carson. So there was the majority of the meeting was a discussion between those two groups. And there was a video in there actually providing information and dialogue. One of the points that was made at that particular meeting was that there will be from May to August 2022, perhaps up to 1,200 cadets from the United States Air Force, Academy doing training here in Pinyon Canyon, and they're going to be coming in groups of 200. The recommendation was made from the tribal representatives to have these individuals to view some of the restrictions that exist within Pinyon Canyon before they complete their training. Interesting information. Then, of course, last Friday we had our CCI County, Colorado Counties Incorporated board meeting, and at this point in time, we're looking at a different venue for the CCI Winter Conference because Hotel Elegante Colorado Springs, who used to accommodate the conference, is being sold, and they're going to be using that venue and facility for affordable housing, I believe. So, sir, that's my report.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, excuse the construction, everybody. We are going through our renovations here at the courthouse with our windows and electrical. So if the dust is causing you allergies like it is me today, we have 100-year-old dust coming out of these windows. excuse us for that. The 13th this month, I was at Artura board meeting for the year. We've set the year's meetings and so forth. Pretty much housekeeping for the year for urban renewal. I would like to announce that we do have a budget for facade programs for businesses in the community that can apply to fix the front of their buildings up to, I believe, $10,000. And we're hopeful we have a lot of applicants. Last year we had quite a few, but they weren't shovel ready. That kind of puts it at a standstill. So if you do want to apply for a facade program for your building in the community, please make sure you're really close to getting ready. I think there'll be like a 90-day grace period where you start your project from the award, the date of the award, and you're awarded the grant. So there's also going to be two seats on that board, or not, I believe three seats coming available. So we're definitely looking, and I'm looking at Ms. Amato here and Mrs. Danny, for future board members, but anyone can apply in the city. I get in the county as well. We live in Los Angeles County, you can apply to the urban renewal board. We are looking forward to fill some seats there for commissioners on that board. Yesterday morning, I had my Otero Partners Incorporated meeting for the first one of the year, which is the same thing, a lot of housekeeping, setting the board of directors and the chair, vice chair, and secretary treasurer. I've been named as secretary treasurer again for the fifth year. And we have $175,000 available for loans to small businesses in Los Angeles and Otero County at this time. We have 9 applicants for loans in the communities, usually 2 of us, I believe 3 or 4 are in Los Angeles County for small businesses. So that is great news to hear. We're getting applicants from our community to go for these small business loans that Otero Partners Incorporated is afforded to loan out in the form of a CDBG grant, and we move forward with that, helping our local community. It's to create jobs, and it helps a lot for our small businesses that can't get traditional funding at a low interest rate up to about 4%. Tomorrow night, I have a Board of Health meeting, and I'll report on it next week after we have that. And that's all I have for today for you. We'll move on to public comment. Do we have anybody signed up? I'll be on call today for public comment. If you do, we'll give you 3 minutes. Not hearing any. We have a special presentation this morning with our Veteran Service Officer, Mr. Ray Odom, receiving the Good Citizens Award. Mr. Odom, please come up.
Good morning, commissioners. Thanks for having me here this morning. Today is a good day. It's a good opportunity present some awards to some really good citizens in Los Angeles County who've done some outstanding things for our veteran community and just our community in general. These citizens, they don't ask for anything. The thing is this is something that I think is really important for our community to let the community know what these citizens do and just to put it out there and say thank you. But on behalf of the Veteran Service Officer, the commissioners, and all the veterans, want to thank you. First person I have is will be Linda Scott. Could you please come up? I want to say a little something about Linda. This was before COVID even happened. She's been making blankets, and these are lap blankets that she gives to me, and we take them and we give them to the nursing homes. And I'm telling you, the feedback that I get back from the nursing homes, I can't explain it. They're so happy, and they tell me that those veterans sit there with those blankets on their lap, they fold them back up, put them on the end of their bed. So Linda, I just want to thank you, and I know you always said, hey, Ray, I don't want no recognition, but hey, you deserve this. And honestly, thank you on behalf of the community and all the veterans and the commissioners.
Thank you.
So, this plaque says, Los Angeles County, Colorado, presented to Linda D. Scott. This was in 2021, in recognition and appreciation for your community service. To all veterans, thank you, Los Angeles County Veterans Service Office. Thank you.
Congratulations.
And next, we have the Daughters of American Revolution. Could you ladies please come up? So these ladies have been there thick and thin through everything I've done. That's dealing with the Korean War ceremony, the Vietnam ceremony. Just help setting up things. They've never asked for anything. They always volunteer, say, Ray, what you got going on? How can we help? And they even use some of their own stuff to help us get things through over there at Fort Wooten. And I'm telling you, it's not me, it's because of you and all of the support and volunteers that we get to make things happen in this community, dealing with veterans, because I can't do it by myself. So, again, I want to thank you, and this is on behalf of me, the veterans, and the commissioners. We want to thank you again. So this is presented to the Santa Fe Chail Tractor, Daughters of American Revolution. The region commander was Rose P. Holman, 2021, in recognition and appreciation for your community service to all veterans. Thank you, thank you, and thank you. Commissioners, thank you again.
Let's get a picture of all of you guys up front here with us. Linda, come on.
Watch the coins.
You're welcome.
We all did it.
No, those are the chiefs right there.
Smile, right?
Awesome.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you
so much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I almost wish we had coffee and donuts. Have a little reception for you, ladies.
We're headed to Nebraska tomorrow. So thank you very much.
Thank you, ladies. And if you feel free to stay with us, we welcome or feel free to leave at any time. We would be more here with our elected officials updates. Since we have Mrs. Lee and Eddie in the room, and Mrs. Mott, we'll allow you guys to go over to have any updates.
Okay. Good morning, gentlemen. Jody Amato, Los Angeles County Assessor. The only update I have is what is on your agenda for later, so I'll save that till then. Other than that, we are rolling forward with our January duties and just trying to continue to serve the public. And I can tell you, we're graciously awaiting our windows if this wind would ever quit blowing.
Thank you, Mrs. Amato. Mr. Mestis.
Good morning, everybody. We've got a new voter precinct thing going on. We'll get to that on the agenda a little bit later. The one thing since the last meeting that I want to update you on is the completion of our phase three digitization. We now have maps available on our historic research site, so people can go on and get plat maps on there too. So that's the final phase, and our office is completely digitized with all our records. So
And they can pay online to receive those.
The maps they do print out in a PDF form. So not only are they able to get documents on both their sites, but they can get plat maps too.
And has that information been passed on to our local abstract companies so they can pass
that? That has, and we're sending it out as new people contact us. But the word's getting out. More people are using our historic research site as they become aware of it. We're promoting it.
A little more convenient for the customer.
It really is. Yeah, everything's available digitally, so it's a great thing. And again, more people are using it as they learn about it. Promoting it as we go.
And just to refresh the memory of the community, that was all purchased by a grant.
It was, right, several grants, just under $400,000. So not a penny was from tax, from grants. So absolutely, we're proud of that and happy about it.
Absolutely. Thank you, Mr. Mestis.
Thank you.
Sheriff Navarrete, are you on the call this morning? Yes, I am.
Good morning, commissioners. No updates today. Thank you.
Sheriff, and I don't think we have anyone from our district attorney's office, our surveyor, or our coroner. Move on with new business. Item 8A, consideration of Trinidad Ambulance District renewal. Mr. Dorkin.
Commissioners, annually, each of the ambulance and districts within the Los Angeles County submit renewal forms to the board. In front of you is Trinidad Ambulances submitted.
Thank you.
And I believe they have a representative online if they wish to add anything to that, if there's any questions.
We have a representative from the ambulance district on the call. I'd like to make any comments today.
No, just typical annual.
No comments.
Good morning. There are no other questions or concerns from the board. We'll entertain a motion, please.
I move to approve the Trinidad Ambulance District's license renewal.
Second the motion.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Monahan, for being on the call today.
Thank you, Commissioners.
B, consideration of resolution 22-010, reappointing Raymond Odom as Los Angeles County Veterans Service Officer. Mr. Dornkamp, would you please read the resolution?
Resolution of Board of County Commissioners of Los Angeles County, Colorado, appointing a Veterans Service Officer to Los Angeles County, Colorado, term 2022-2024. Resolution 22-101, whereas pursuant to CRS 28-5-801, frame 1, Abraham, is the duty of the Board of County Commissioners of Los Angeles County to establish a County Veterans Service Office and to appoint a County Veterans Service Officer for a 2-year term, who shall be charged with the responsibility of providing assistance to veterans of military service residing in Los Angeles County. And whereas pursuant to CRS 28-5-802, frame 1, Abraham, a County Veterans Service Officer must be a resident of the state of Colorado, shall have served in the United States Army, Air Force, Marine Corps, or Coast Guard, or any auxiliary branch thereof. And such appointee must be well qualified based on education and experience to perform the duties of the County Veterans Service Officer. And whereas the Board of County Commissioners sought the advice and counsel of local veterans in Los Angeles County in consideration of appointment of County Veterans Service Officer. Now therefore be resolved by the Board of County Commissioners of Los Angeles County, Colorado, that Mr. Raymond Odom is hereby appointed as the Los Angeles County Veterans Service Officer for term beginning January 4, 2022, and ending January 4, 2024. On motion made and second, affirmative vote, this resolution was adopted on the 16th day of January 2022, followed by a year. By order of the Board of County Commissioners of Los Angeles County, Colorado, followed by your signature, ones and commissioners. I'd also like to add to that is that County Administrative Assistant Paula DeSero did submit requests via public and publications and everything else as required. And Mr. Odom is the only one who submitted a letter requesting to be considered for various service officers.
Thank you. Before I will entertain a motion, I'd like to just make a couple comments regarding this particular office and thank Mr. Odom for all of his efforts he's done for this community. Just like the rest of our fine-tuned staff that we've come to realize we've had here in Los Angeles County for a long time, from our road and bridge to our elected officials' offices, this is just another avenue of a great support service we have for our Los Angeles County citizens. Mr. Ray Odom, what he's done for this community, it's just another addition to the great staff that we have here in Los Angeles County. I'd like to thank him and thank all of our staff, but especially today for Mr. Odom. Thank you for being part of this community. At this point, we'll entertain a motion, please.
It's my honor to move that the resolution 22-010, reappointing Ray Odom as Los Angeles County's Veterans Service Officer.
I second that motion.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Odom. I think he left. Back to work, see? Item C, consideration of resolution 22-011, clerk and recorder amendment to update the preceding boundaries. Mr. Mestis.
Good morning again. So we have updated the precincts to reflect 7 precincts as opposed to prior 16, which was from another time when really even the state's opinion was there was just too many to begin with. So we've got 7 meaningful precincts on each under 2,000 voters. And so that is what we're presenting.
Before we formalize this resolution, will the voters be notified of what precinct they are in now? How will they be notified? Will it come on their ballots? How will that get notified? Because I'm always in precinct 14 forever.
Mm-hmm.
How does that change now? Or do we, or is it even necessary that they're notified of
the precinct? The state hasn't informed me of anything that will go out directly to the public, but if anybody has any questions, we can print out the
map.
A voter registration form. We do have maps. I've got a larger copy here if anybody wants to see. I can pull it out. Once this is complete, pretty much once you approve the resolution, I send that in with the shape file to the state. Then they give me authorization to go in and start doing the work. Once the work is done, we will actually give both political parties a new data file with voters and maps, and of course that will be in our registration system. So I mean, it doesn't directly impact anybody, you know.
No questions were going to come. So
yeah,
you know, one of the recommendations I'd like to make to your office is to do a press release. And even though the expense is going to be there, provide a map that would actually identify those precincts to begin the informational session, because a lot of the citizens that may live in the outlying areas may or may not. And then also, let's put it on the website so they can see exactly what precinct, because, you know, at the end of the day, this 2022 is going to be very pivotal election year. People, the last thing we want to do is, well, I didn't know, I went here and I went there. So, and I would even go into providing information through, and I don't know if you can, through the school districts, through the college, through any type of information that we can get at the chamber. Let's disseminate this information to all. So at the end of the day, it's pretty clear that the boundaries have changed.
Yeah, we will get that out. The whole thing with it being mail ballot, it shouldn't affect anybody. Is to, you know, they don't have to go to a polling place or anything like that. So, and again, with this work needs to be done before the caucuses, so that's why, yeah, we'll give the parties new lists and an updated maps as well, just as soon as I'm done with the work.
So the caucuses in March,
March 7th, I believe. Yeah, plus two, I'm on call for both parties throughout their timeline of their caucus. I'm always available with my laptop and a phone that both parties can contact me for any verification beyond what they have. Yeah.
Any other comments or questions for Mr. Messis's office?
Just one, commissioners. I believe this is required. This statute has is the redrawing of the commissioners' boundaries after the census of every 10 years. That's why the precincts are being drawn as will your boundaries. I'm not sure that as a commissioner's boundaries will be later this summer.
Okay. If there are no other questions or comments, please read the resolution.
Resolution Board of County Commission, Los Angeles County, Colorado, amending and updating precincts for the conduct of elections within Los Angeles County, Colorado, resolution number 22-011. Whereas Los Angeles County Clerk and Recorder is designated as an elected official responsible for the conduct of the elections held in Los Angeles County, Colorado, in accordance with the Colorado Election Code. Whereas Los Angeles County Clerk and Recorder desires to amend and update the boundaries of precincts, and whereas Los Angeles County Clerk and Recorder's amended and updated precincts and active voter counts are as follows as of this resolution's signature date: precinct 1, 1,115 active voters; precinct 2, 1,764 active voters; precinct 3, 1,811 active voters; precinct 4, 1,186 active voters; precinct 5, 1,057 active voters; precinct 6, 1,591 active voters; precinct 7, 1,321 active voters. Now, therefore, be resolved by the Board of County Commissioners of Los Angeles County, Colorado, that 1, Board of County Commissioners hereby endorses and approves the request of Los Angeles County Clerk and Recorder Patricia Navillo to amend and update precincts boundaries within Los Angeles County, Colorado, as reflected in the voter precinct maps attached here to, and part hereof, as it fully set out in the body of this resolution two. Be it further resolved, the Board of County Commissioners hereby endorses and approves the description of all voting precincts 1 through 7, inclusive within Los Angeles County, Colorado, as submitted by Los Angeles County Clerk of Court, Patricia M. Hill, effective as of this resolution signature date. Upon motion made and seconded, affirmative vote, this resolution was adopted as of the January 2022. Board of County Commissioners of Los Angeles County, Colorado, call for your signature, please.
Entertain a motion, please.
I move to approve resolution 22-011, Clerk and Recorder's Amendment and updating of precinct boundaries.
Second to motion.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Pete Solis?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Solis?
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Have a great day.
Thank you.
Item E, consideration of permit extension for resolution 21-017, Spanish Peak Solar. I believe, is that why you're here, Mr. Pizarro?
Yeah, I'm not sure if David Kimmich might be in there.
I believe he is.
David, are you on the call, sir?
Yes.
I am, yeah. Thank you, commissioners.
Good morning.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Great, yeah. Nice to see everyone. Nice to see you, Commissioner Lopez, Commissioner Lopez, Commissioner Haas. We presented our conditional use permit, special use permit case in April of 2021. And owing to well-known changes in supply chain dynamics that have been happening across not just the solar industry, but across America and many different industries, it's taking more time than what we had anticipated to acquire the necessary materials to start the project. So as a part of Los Angeles County land use regulations, we have to obtain a building permit within 1 year of our formal approval of our special use permit. And that's just frankly, unfortunately, not going to happen. We won't be able to obtain the building permit by April of this year. So I'm asking for an extension for Spanish Peak Solar so that we can have that additional time in order to bring this important project to fruition.
Okay, thank you, David. Mr. Lucero, are there any issues that you see with allowing this permit to be extended at this time? And could you give the board some sort of information on how this moves forward?
No, I don't see a problem with it. I have talked to Mr. Kimmich several times just because of the nationwide delay in getting material. His application is good from April, and let's see, if he doesn't get started, then he's required to get an extension on it. So he may be able to get it, but he wants to be on the safe side and just go and request an extension on it with for that permit, which is I'm with that.
The planning commission has no issues with
you. No, this is more handled more by you guys as an extension on the resolution.
That he was already approved,
yeah.
Just an extension of that.
Okay.
Mr. Sarai, what is the extension would be for an additional
for 12 months? For another year.
Yeah.
So from date of April or from today's date?
That would be from the date of April.
Okay. Any other questions or concerns for Mr. Lucero or Mr. Kimmich? Entertain a motion, please.
Move for approval of the permit extension for resolution 21-017, Spanish Peak Solar.
I second the motion.
Commissioner Pete Solis?
Yes.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis?
Yes. Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you. Have a great day, sir.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, commissioners. Have a great one.
Item F, consideration of Perry Stokes Airport Planning Grant Application Letter. Commissioner Barkin.
Commissioners, we are in the process of applying for a grant to try and match funding the county budget of $25,000. And we're going after $25,000 of a planning grant, the Department of Local Affairs administers. As part of that application, there needs to be a letter submitted that's signed by the Board of County Commissioners, along with some financial information. County Finance Director Chrissy Colbert has already for the financial information to me, and this is the letter that I'd like to consider and approve so we can collect those funds to try and establish at least the groundwork, the planning stages for industrial park out there. Okay.
Do you have any questions or concerns for Mr. Marquand? Marquand, a motion, please.
Move to approve the Irving Stokes Airport Planning Grant application letter.
Second motion.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes. Item G, consideration of designating CHP rep and alternate contact person for billing and changes. Mr. Darby.
Commissioners, annually the county needs to designate a representative and an alternate for the county health pool award. Before you is that consideration, Commissioner Hass has been represented in the past.
Yep.
And Kim Chavez has been on
alternate. Well, I appreciate you doing this for us, Commissioner Hass, and if you feel the need to want to continue on, I'll be proud to nominate you.
Well, you know, I was just elected as vice chair of the county health pool, and I think it would be pertinent to have Kim as well.
Did you have any comments or questions?
No, I think Commissioner Hass has been serving as a face of not only Senator County, but Senator County of Southern Colorado. So thank you for all the work that you've done.
We entertain a motion at this time.
Yes. I move to designate CHP representative and alternate and contact person for billing and changes of the Commissioner Tony Hass. An alternate is Kim Chavez.
Second.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Probably yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
And Commissioner Hass?
Yes.
Thank you both for your service. Appreciate it. Item H, consideration of Fisher's Peak Economic and Recreational Impact Study results into THK's agreement.
Commissioners, at one of your prior meetings, the board approved limited services or tied-in services or THK consulting group for the impact, the economic and recreational impact study that's to be taking place because of Fisher's Peak opening, etc. And in front of you now is the actual contract, the actual agreement that the board needs to consider.
Thank you, Mr. Dornkamp. Councilor, do you have any questions or concerns with this agreement?
No, I reviewed the agreement and it's seen us now.
Do you have any questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, entertain a motion, please.
Look for approval of District Peak Economic and Recreation Impact Study Consultant THK's agreement.
I second that motion.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Hass?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes. Item I, consideration of fourth quarter public trustee report. This is the end. Do you have anything to add?
Nothing.
No questions or concerns from the board. I entertain a motion, please.
I move to approve the fourth quarter public trustee report.
Second the motion.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you.
Item J, consideration of floodplain risk mapping assessment and planning project memorandum of agreement. Mr. Duncan.
Commissioners, before you use a memorandum of agreement, the board is like the board to consider developing a risk mapping assessment and planning map. Consulting group has been brought on, I believe, by the state and feds through different sources of funding to revamp our floodplain maps. And this memorandum of agreement is our portion of signing off on those upgrades updates.
Now, is this the report that will go to a local, who would administer this there? For building trades or building?
It will go to insurance companies. I think we saw here, if I'm wrong, Mr. Sullivan. It goes to our insurance companies and other people that have interest in floodplains, et cetera. So.
The reason I ask is, are there any current building proposals being done in this floodplain, and has this changed much to affect any of these future sites if there are any new construction?
At this time, no, there are not many. But basically, what they're doing is updating the number of streams in the area. They probably haven't been updated since 1980.
Well, that tell you the one that comes between our property down there.
Yeah. Well, well that it, was... and it did come at a good time because we mentioned a lot of these streams that did flood. I had mentioned one up in Great Creek. I don't know if you guys remember when the train ran up there. There's a monitor up there, and apparently that monitor was shut off at that time. So basically, they're updating. Something that probably shouldn't have been done a long time ago.
And the recent flood that we had this summer almost took that trap out again.
Yeah, and I did mention that in our discussion with Phil. I did bring that up. So these are a lot of these streams are going to be some were added to be studied. Some they're going to go back and restudy them because of history of flooding in the area.
So let's see a map right there too, though. San Miguel County.
It will be, I think.
So, Mr. Lucero, on this detailed flood study will commence. Is there a time window that they have to complete that flood study for
I think it goes on for a couple of years. I think I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's my understanding. It's going to be a pretty in-depth study, so it's going to take quite a long time to go through all the historic records. Looking at the new flows and the new stream channel, the location of the channels versus what they were opposite.
And they work with they're working with the town of Oakdale, the town of Starkville, all the different municipalities.
So when in the contract it's specifically says this plan will identify community responsibilities, that's Oakdale and so on and so forth.
Yes.
Okay. And then, my last, my highlighted perspective, and portion that I have here as a question is the, does the county by us, and I know we have to support this because it's the county that has this, do we have any way of communicating this information to all the residents? Because with the last floods that we had on the last summer, we might have created a different kind of a flood. Flood pattern. Is that even for current residences? Would we be informing those communities? And
we'll have floodplain maps for the entire county. With Coatdale will probably get their own set. But we won't have floodplain maps in our office. If somebody's wanted to considering the development, they come in and take a look at those. So, and then if it is a floodplain, then they need to take that into consideration when an engineer is designing it. All right?
Thank you, Mr. Lucero. There are no other questions or comments. Entertain a motion, please.
Move for approval of the floodplain risk mapping assessment and planning project memorandum of agreement.
I second that motion.
Commissioner Peter Sobich?
Yes.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Lisa?
Yes, item K, consideration of resolution 22-012, correcting certification of mill levy for 2022 property taxes. Please give some comment here, Ms. Marvel.
Good morning, gentlemen. This was a joint effort, and I'm very grateful, and I can tell you that the Kim School District, their superintendent sends his thanks and his appreciation for us being able to correct this mistake. Our county treasurer was doing her due diligence, thank heavens, and had noticed on the certification that last year there was a bond levy for that school district, and this year there was not. So because she is so careful in compiling her tax roll, she called, and that is when it was brought to our attention that that school district failed to put on their certification form that was submitted to commissioners their bond. The school district board themselves had approved it. It was an oversight and a mistake that it did not make it to the form that was presented to you gentlemen when you're seated in December to certify levies. So then I started, Donna and Christy called me. I started reaching out to the Department of Taxation, other assessors. Nobody has had this situation in this specific situation arise. So that's when I reached out to County Attorney Ms. Nelson and said, how can we correct this? Because at this point, as the county assessor, my job is to make sure that every taxing entity gets a fair and equitable certification, valuation, and that the tax roll is correct to the best of our knowledge. That way they can perform the services that they need. Educating our kids, in my opinion, comes at the top of my list. So I was very grateful with the work of all of us and all these great minds that we were able to find a solution to this problem. At this point, we have not generated or printed tax bills. It's going to cause a little bit of work for the next couple days for Donna and I, but we're more than willing to do that. So no harm was done to any entity, to the county, to anybody. So we were able to receive the correct certification. I believe Ms. Nelson wrote a resolution, and if you gentlemen will approve it, we will get to work doing our jobs.
Thank you, Ms. Amato. Thank you, Ms. Leonetti. Do we have any questions or concerns for Ms. Amato?
No, good job.
Thank you. The only bad thing is tax notices are going to probably be late.
But hopefully today I will get my side tax roll rerun. I'm just waiting on your certification or stamp of approval. And all it was, their original mill levy that they certified was 20.061. They left off their bond redemption, which is 9.3 mills. So it'll bring their total mill levy to 29.361. And ensure that they have the money collected so they can pay their bond for the new school that was built years ago.
Right. Good job, Team Los Angeles County.
Thank you.
Hey, keep writing about this.
Thanks, County Attorney Nelson, for drafting this resolution. I'm surprised since there was no template.
I had to thank Pam because I think I kind of caught her off guard when I made that phone call.
This just goes to show that how much this community and our elected officials care for our schools, especially this small school, one of our smallest out in our community, and Ms. Nelson for putting this together and all of our team doing so. Without further ado, please read the resolution.
Resolution of the Board of County Commissioners of Los Angeles County, Colorado, correcting the certification of mill levies for all taxing entities within Los Angeles County for fiscal year 2022. Resolution 22-0 to all. Whereas on December 17, 2021, the Los Angeles County Board of County Commissioners created the board increment pursuant to CRS 39-1-111, certified levy against the valuation for assessment of all taxable property located in the county on assessment date, the requisite property taxes for all purposes required by law, and whereas the school Kim district. Kim School District, the district imprint located within the county, timely but inaccurately certified to the board their property tax levies for fiscal year 2022. And whereas on December 17, 2021, the property tax for fiscal year 2022 certified levied by the board in accordance with CRS 39-1-111, not include a portion of the property tax levy for the district, as it was erroneously omitted from the district certification of mill levies. More specifically, the HB 20-1418 net mill levy, and whereas the emission was a
Scrivener's.
Thank you. Error and was not done intentionally by the district, and whereas on January 14, 2022, the district submitted their corrected certification of mill levies, which included the amount for House Bill 20-1418, net mill levy, and whereas the board desires to correct the levy for fiscal year 2022 property taxes and certify such levies to the assessor, non pro tunct, to December 17, 2021. Now, therefore, be resolved by the Board of County Commissioners of Los Angeles County, Colorado, that one, there shall be in there, is hereby levied against all taxable property, real, personal, and mixed, tangible and intangible, not exempt at all within the boundaries of the county. Tax assessment on Exhibit A, attached here to and incorporated herein. Two, the levy certification is entered not pro tunct to December 17, 2021, is hereby certified for the assessor. On a motion made and seconded and affirmative vote, this resolution was adopted the 16th of January 2022. By order of the Board of County Commissioners, Los Angeles County, Colorado, followed by your signature.
Thank you. Thank you so much for all the work, and this is something that the early question was, has anybody been through this? So I think now that San Luis County has case law for other counties should they ever make it. So thank you so much to both of you. I move to approve resolution 22-012, correcting certification and mill levy for 2022 property taxes.
Second the motion. Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes, and after hearing Mr. Dorn can't read that lawful resolution, I think he should apply for his small license. Now I'm also there.
I'm still a little nervous for his these Latin words that are
coming out. We're not for a kind of price. Right. Thank you, everybody. Moving on to financial matters. Consideration of the bills of New York for the first half, January 2022. I don't know who's calling on the call.
Good morning. Payroll as of January 15, 2022 was $187,488.46. Any questions on payroll?
The increase already, thank you so much for the new payroll increases, so much appreciated.
Okay. Bills paid on January 5th, 2022, $1,145,368.98. Within this packet, we had a lot of 2022 dues that were paid. Our CAP insurance, our workman's comp insurance, CAP was, CAP was $419,668.99. Workman's comp was $190,778. Also in here, we made our first payment to the courthouse project for windows and the electrical for $477,994. Bills paid on January 12th was $85,066.98. In here was a payment to the EDA grant. I think that was a study for the engineering, I think, Phil, correct?
That's correct. It was a preliminary engineering report that's required for that grant.
And then we also paid for a study, I think, for the FAA grant for $2,400. And that's all I have.
Thank you for highlighting those. That really comes in handy, Christy.
Sure. You're welcome.
We have any comments or questions or concerns? Mm-hmm. Entertain a motion at this time.
Move for approval of bills and payroll for the first half of 2020.
Second.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes. And at this time, we need to make a motion to suspend this meeting and with a 5-minute or 10-minute recess so we can start our Board of County Commissioners acting in the capacity of the Board of Human Services.
I'll make a motion to suspend the Board of County Commissioners regular meeting and take a 5-minute recess and resume on to the agenda.
Second the motion. Commissioner Hatch?
Yes.
Commissioner Pedis Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes. We have time to go. Okay, thank you.
You're right back.
Thank you. Harris. No problems. It is 10:11 a.m. We will call the board. County Commissioners acting in the capacity of Board of Human Services to order this appointment. Commissioner Lopez, would you please lead us in the invocation this morning?
Certainly. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come together and to start a new year. All things are possible with you, and we ask for your guidance, your knowledge, and your wisdom in the decisions on behalf of the citizens of San Luis County. And Father, we thank you for all the people that do your work. Thank you for being here with us. Please encourage me that we say in our souls.
Amen. Sheriff, God, would you please lead us in the pledge this morning?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Commissioner Hess?
Here.
Commissioner Pete Soltis?
Here.
Commissioner Luis Soltis?
And here. Do we have any changes with your regard to the agenda?
The only thing at this time, commissioners, is I would ask to table our regular minutes review for December, as those are still in review at this time, and we will present those in February's meeting.
Entertain a motion, please.
Motion to approve the agenda with the recommendation as presented.
Second motion. Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Pete Soltis?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Soltis?
Yes, so we go to item three, director's report, Mr. Erdman.
So, commissioners, I have just a few items to update you on this month. First and foremost, we did talk in several of the meetings in the past couple months regarding the child welfare allocation cut that was coming. That did take place. We did see a significant cut to our second half of the year, fiscal year, in funding, and so we are adjusting based on the tax revenue for this year that we had adjusted already for. So, but we did see a roughly close to $60,000 cut from our allocation. That's our 80-20 block grant. Additional to that, I did get an outreach call from TSC this last week regarding their initiative through a grant to stop hunger among our student population in the post-secondary or the collegiate level. We're working with Pam Espinoza in their efforts to try and collaborate on SNAP benefits and getting the word out, and also providing accessible application options for students who are eligible for SNAP benefits. Ms. Garrison and I reviewed the statute regarding that last week, and so we are working with TSC. I am working in communication with them right now and developing a plan of action to help support that effort through the grant that they received. So more to come on that in the future.
Can you explain TSC to
Trinidad State College? Outside of that, it's normal business as usual.
So let me go back for one quick second on the these benefits for college students. Are there any high school students coming up to also apply for these benefits, or do they need to be emancipated? Well, how does the process work?
Actually, I'm going to lean to Ms. Garrison on that piece, if you don't mind speaking to that slightly.
High school students are not eligible for the benefit. There is an age limit on the food stamps. They have to be 21, actually going on 22, to be considered an emancipated adult as far as food stamps are concerned. If they are attending college and they do have a food meal plan, they also do not qualify for the SNAP benefits. That's why they're trying to reach those students that do not qualify.
So you pretty much want the community type of
Yes.
Correct. In relation to the SNAP benefits, we also identified that if the student is currently residing in any of the residentials of the college, so if they're in the dormitories, they also do not qualify under that because they wouldn't have a meal plan in place of some sort. So these are the commuter students. These are the students who are currently living on their own and are struggling to keep up. And so we're working to identify alternative methods. We also gave recommendations to work with WIC through the health department and some other area agencies that I think will be beneficial to building a pantry, basically, which is what they're trying to do. Is it's more of a resource pantry. They have a current pantry for students up there, but it's how do we go beyond that that limitation right now of feeding the ones that are on campus. We need to look at how do we support the ones that are not on campus.
So is DHS doing the emancipation certification?
No, we do not do the emancipation certifications. That is something that they'll, we can work with them to guide them, but that's not something we actually do.
Okay. Any other questions or concerns for the director before we move on to new business? Item A, consideration of the case load counts by activity and program.
Mr. Chairman. Hi, sure, I'll be filling in for Ms. Marino this morning. She apologizes. She says she misses you all. She's missed several meetings, but we've had a shortage of staffing in her department recently, and so she's covering this after this morning. So, in regards to adult protective services, for the month of December, we had a total of 37 cases on the books. During the month, we saw 7 referrals. Any questions on adult services?
The referrals that you usually receive, are they coming from families or what sources?
Yeah, primarily with our adult services, we find that it's a half and half. Half our family members. The other half we've gotten a lot recently are from neighbors, folks who are living next door to other folks who they know maybe potentially having some issues, and so we kind of get a mix of those two. Yes. Right. For single entry point, for the month of December, our 8 CBS EBD cases, 243, 8 CBS EBD CDAS, 148, 8 CBS EBD long-term home health, 28, for a subtotal of 419 cases. We have 8 CBS CMHS, for a total of 18, 8 CBS CMHS CDAS, 9, 8 CBS CMHS long-term home health, 2, for a subtotal of 29. Our long-term home health only was 4, so our total client count for the month of December was 452 clients. Our initial assessments for the month, our 8 CBS approvals was 7. Our nursing home facility placements, we had 2. We had no initial 8 CBS denials, so we had a total of 9 activity applications and acceptance for the month of December. Any questions or concerns?
Mr. Aragon, on the 8 CBS EBD long-term home health unit 28, are those all here in San Luis County?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. And then you have 4 long-term home health only, and is that assisted living? That's what I would imagine.
The long-term home health is not necessarily an assisted living facility. They might be assisted within a home. And keep in mind, and I should say, let me correct that, it's not just Los Angeles County, because this is the one program that we for both Huerfano and Los Angeles. Okay. So those numbers could be split between the two. Huerfano carries a much smaller caseload, obviously, part of the reason why they're under our single entry point region. I believe my last count was about 120 cases out of Huerfano. So those.
And then on the bottom line, the nursing home placement of 2, those are, I would imagine, those are local.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Any other questions? Okay. Next, we have child support.
Good morning.
Good
morning,
Marty.
For the month of November, we have 267 4A cases. 100 of those current, 167 arrears. We have 586 non-4A cases. 101 of those are current only cases, and brings us to a total of 954 cases for the month of November. We collected $12,857.44 for tenant cases, $92,707.94 for the non-4A, bringing our total collections for the month of November to $105,565.38. Our year-to-date collections for the TANF are $240,644.48, and our total non-4A collections for the year is $1,177,574.68, bringing our total year-to-date collections to $1,418,219.16. We had 11 new cases in the month of November, 180 locates, four orders established, all of them by administrative process. We completed two modifications, sent out 63 income withholdings, have 13 APA hearings pending, and 7 modifications. Our driver's license suspension, the letter should be going out today, and that report should come in tomorrow. We should have a little report since we haven't had it on for 2 years. And our caseloads should probably be picking up here within the next few months. They have waived the application fee on that, so I'm assuming we're going to be getting in a lot of non-cases we have this morning.
Give me a second, just for anyone that's on online, can you just briefly explain the difference between monthly collections, the 4A versus non-4A?
So the 4A collections are for the collections that we receive on any cases where they are receiving channel. And the non-4A are for those cases where they are not on any type of channel benefit. Any other questions?
Thank you.
I know legal counsel Ms. Nelson's excited for all the new cases we'll be getting. Ain't that the truth? All right, next up we have travel appointments.
Morning.
I'm not asking.
2 months.
2 months.
2 months, yeah. All right, so for the month of December, we had 23 referrals come through. We are working with 27 children in home, 30 children out of home, which gives us a total of 57 children served. We currently have children, 8 children placed in the county, 21 children placed out of the county, and 13 placed with kin. Questions?
Yeah, so the number of children in the home that decreased significantly from 53 to 27, that's...
Yeah, and what happens, I mean, we'll get referrals that have 3, 4, or 5 kids involved, or, you know, we might get a referral that only has one, so I'm thinking that's where we're at. November, if I recall correctly, we had a couple of families that had, I think, 4 or 5 kids, so that'll really bump up that number.
Good. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. And then I have Ms. Teresa Garrison with eligibility. One of the things, commissioners, I wanted to state before she gets her report this morning, you know, we've done some realignment with the department over the last 2 years and identifying specific roles and tasks for our staff members to help support the community better. One of those was establishing a more comprehensive call center. We did that in probably the first month of my tenure in 2020, and it took some time to kind of level out, but we've got 2 really strong staff members in there, and last week I received a phone call from a local community member who was absolutely overjoyed with the level of customer service from one of our call center staff, Ms. Cindy Smith, and I wanted the commissioners to know that this is the second phone call praising Ms. Smith in the last 2 weeks that we've received. Her knowledge base regarding our income maintenance programming, her ability to work with clients one-on-one, both in the office and by phone, has been a real, it's an elevation for the department in many ways. It's something that we didn't have, and so I just wanted to share that and give her some acknowledgement today, because this is somebody who's definitely gone above and beyond what the call of her duties are to really make our consumers feel more at home when working with our Department of Human Services. So I just wanted to give that acknowledgement to Ms. Garrison for her efforts with her team as well. We send our sincere appreciation to your staff member. Thank you.
She was real happy. I was too.
That doesn't happen every day.
It does. We have a lot more complaints. And like I said, I think one of you got a complaint from a client about a food stamp, and we knew that was going to happen. We are on a month-to-month still. They are still giving the extra, but they're getting their regular amount first, so they're calling and complaining, and, you know, we just have to tell them month by month, so when February comes, we just, we're hoping and praying, but if you guys get phone calls, you know why, that way you're able to answer that question.
You know, when we get a phone call, then we get the phone call back, thank you so much, because I received the phone call immediately, so I really appreciate that as well. Because your service, customer service is paramount, and, you know, at the end of the day, I think citizens will call whomever to get the services they need, and that's what we're here for.
Right.
So we appreciate that as well.
When we get those calls, what's proper protocol for us? Do we give them your number?
Yeah, so primarily what we've seen is if you are getting a complaint call, which we, you know, again, we encourage the community, if you're having an issue, reach out to whoever you need to get a hold of us. But, you know, we really want them to call our call center because that's our primary point of contact for the department. But if you get a call and a message is left, feel free to send it to me. I usually get with the department that needs to know that and we'll get that call out that day.
What is your call center number?
So they can call. So we're in transition right now with the new phone system coming in. So that number is going to change. It'll be a singular number coming up with the new phones. I don't want to say that we have a permanent number at this point, but they can call the main line, the 846-2276, and just ask for the call center, and we'll get them there. And our call center, our policy still is 24 to 48 hours return call. Our call center is pretty good about either closing out the day with those messages and then getting them back that day or the very next day. So. There shouldn't be a lag time. If there is, we need to know.
I think my number is on your website, so I get a lot of calls and I just give them.
That's fine, yeah.
Okay, for the eligibility unit caseload total for December, 4 month extended 2, Andy SSI CS 1, Andy SSI CS 8CA 0, Andy SSI CSPNA 1, Basic Cash Assistance 80, BCCP 1, Burial 7, Buy-in WAD 1, Stage P Plus 54, Stage P Plus Newborn 0, Stage P Plus Prenatal 1, PAC 13, Eligible Newborn 86, food stamps 1,981, former foster care 2, HCBS BI 0, HCBS CES 9, HCBS CHCBS 4, HCBS CHRP 1, HCBS CMHS 27, HCBS DB 27, HCBS EBD 315, HCBS SLS 22, LIS 35, MAGI Adult 2,274, MAGI Children 1,017, MAGI Parent 464, MAGI Pregnant 47, Nursing Facility Hospital 300% Institutionalized 74, OEPA 92, OEPA HCA 0, OEP HCPA 0, OEPA PMA 3, OEPB 20, OEPB PMA 1, OEPB Med A 40, OEP Med B 1, PACE 0, QI 152, QMB 591, SLMB 140, SSI Mandatory 362, SSI HCA 1, State A&E 27, Transitional Food Stamps 5, and Transitional Medicaid 206, for a total of 8,087, a decrease of 18. Any questions? Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, this time we'll entertain a motion.
Move for approval of caseload counseling activity by program.
Second.
Second.
Commissioner Pete Sotis?
Yes.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you.
Item B, consideration of MOU, working with Los Angeles County Early Childhood Advisory Council, COLA. Mr. Arbuckle.
Commissioners, in front of you this morning is a memorandum of understanding between the COLA group and Los Angeles County DHS. We have a representative out of our income maintenance who handles our child care program who sits on this committee as a representative of DHS in partnership and collaboration with them. And so in front of you is our, I think it's a biannual, if I remember correctly, MOU agreement that we enter into.
This is by county, correct?
Yes, this one is by county.
Yeah, if I may, Mr. Chairman, a couple of questions I have, you know, on the particular MOU is specifically targets children 8 and under. And then to identify gaps from their success. So we're talking about first and second graders, perhaps?
Yeah. You're looking at first, second, and maybe some third graders in there, just depending on where they land age-wise.
What kind of data to identify those gaps on the advancement of education or more from COLA and DHS? What kind of data is going to be used?
So as far as on the DHS side, our child care coordinator, Mr. Greg Henry, he monitors with our three providers. So we are at three providers, including COG, Peas in a Pod, and but anyways, of our three providers, they monitor the educational components that they're receiving month to month based on attendance. We look at the attendance of those, Trinidad, what was the other one? But that piece is monitored specifically to identify if they are not only attending the programming, but that there's beneficial outcomes from the program. Part of the contracts that the state enters into with our providers in order to be a provider under the child care program is very specific on what they have to deliver to the children, both educationally and in physical activity. As far as with HULA, HULA monitors that through reports given to them by local school districts that they work with, as well as, I don't know if they review AYP, annual yearly progress for students, but I would assume that that's part of that processes to identify education gaps as well.
So students, the deliverables are communicated with the child's family, I would imagine.
Correct.
And the
and with the provider, because they want to identify if there is a gap in the educational or the components of the provider that COLA is in support of helping those folks, whether it's a school or a private entity, elevate their educational output for the students.
And if I can add to that, for county governments, the programming that they have to adhere to maintain the level 4 status,
right,
to receive these types of programs and funding that are administered by the federal government guidelines. So we have to follow those guidelines in order to have the students following, I guess, a curriculum of sorts.
Correct.
And in that way, it will have that continuance of stability for these programs to make to keep them accountable.
Correct. Part of the reason why there's such a specific targeted age group with this is because we find that true change among most students happens at this age level. So, you know, I'm taking off my DHS hat, throwing on my economic development hat. You know, we find that true economic development within a community starts at this age group. It takes 20 or 30 years to start to see that change, but it's really about setting in an educational component for those students to understand what local economies look like, why it's so important to support local economies, and how those economies function, especially in rural areas. And so true economic development only starts with this generation, and a lot of research in education shows that a lot of change happens at this age. This is when they absorb the majority of this. And so once we get past this age, it's really difficult to get them to understand those very basic concepts of the world around them. And so I believe that's why COLA is so focused on this age group specifically, to ensure that there's no gap.
Yeah, and so I think you pretty much, my next question was gonna be, do we have a pattern to follow the continuity of progress with these particular cohorts? And so this is open not only to those eligible for DHS services, but basically for anyone that wants to participate in the program, to attain success and minimize the educational and physical gaps that we were speaking of. So I guess I would like to see if there is any data going back, even if we have a cohort advancing on the 8th, 10th grade, to see what their accomplishment has been based upon this opportunity.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure on who monitors as far as growth happens, but I'd be glad to reach out to them and identify that, if any. But I definitely think with our child care program that we offer through DHS, you know, we really focus on, especially because of where we are in the community, you know, we do have an impoverished population. Those kids are the ones who slip through the cracks. And so these programs are really put in place to make sure that they don't. You know, not everyone qualifies, but, you know, it is a program that allows us to make sure that not only is the child getting a decent basic education, but also that they're safe, that they're in a safe environment with people that, you know, help them grow as an individual. Because those smaller youth, they're starting to develop their personalities at that age, and so they have to have that interaction. Also socially, you know, I think it's important with the world that we're in today, because everything is so technologically driven, everything is so isolated because social media and phones and technology, you know, kids still need to be kids. You know, they're getting younger and younger with cell phones. They see 8, 9 year olds walking down the street with cell phones and not interacting with each other. So I think this is a great way for us to ensure that that not just physical, but also that social interaction takes place still, so that they build those skills.
And I like your idea of some sort of tracking of it when they hit that age group of 8th grade, 9th grade, and what the results were of the program. There's nothing there to track it at this point, but it's a good idea. Another thing to look at when we get the legislation down the road to see how we can fund that.
There are many educational studies that have tracked over the years students and their progress in specific content areas. I mean, there's a lot of scholarly work on that and those traceable pathways and the level of success attained by those students as they move into collegiate level and into the society after college. So, you know, there is data on that. I think locally it would be nice to track that to see what impact it's having. I think that's where we're a little data for, is the local level.
Yeah, and I think, you know, for me, the stages of development, whether it's Erickson or Maslow, you know, whether we believe that or not, I think the advancement is tangible. If we were to have data, basically redacted data without names and so on and so forth, but at least to identify these were the impacts that were created by this program. Therefore, the normal justification that they can continue funding for programs such as this.
And I would be glad to reach out to Google again. I'm not sure what their reporting looks like for the federal level, because I'm sure they probably have to provide certain levels of data to keep that grant. But
it would be a good idea for a presentation.
Yeah, we can definitely look into that.
Counselor, do you have any questions or concerns before this agreement?
I do not.
At this time, there are no questions or concerns anymore. Entertain a motion, please.
I move to approve the MOU working on Los Angeles County's Early Childhood Advisory Council, parentheses, HUBA.
Second the motion. Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Peterson?
Yes.
Commissioner Russo?
Yes. Item 5, financial reports. Consideration of financials as of November 30th, 2021, Mr. Russo.
Commissioners, Ms. Grillet is unavailable this morning. She's in an EBT meeting with the state, so I'll be providing financial reports. Hopefully I don't screw it up for this month. In the month of November, again, we're not at closeout yet. Our December will be in February. Our current tax revenue was $3,305.90. Our delinquent tax collection was $919.47, for a total of $4,225.37. Our year-to-date tax revenue collection is $353,247.19. For the month of November, our current revenue from the state and federal was $1,233,195.34. Our current year-to-date was $14,212,300. 14,212,335.34 $374.34. Our current expenditures for the month of November were $1,298,020.57. Our year-to-date expenditures are $14 million, with the county match $914,350.80. Current year-to-date total for the county share is $671,262.83. Questions on financials. On the second page, commissioners, I did include the single entry point settlement worksheet for you, just so that you can get an idea of where we're landing month to month. Again, this is a program that, as we know in the past, was a prepayment. It's now a pay per member per month model. And so for the month of November, we had a current end balance of $116,080.27 as a carryover from the prior month. Our current revenue was $51,294.50. Our expenditures were $56,575.48. So we have a variance of $110,799.29 in that program. Questions or concerns?
Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion, please.
Do approval for financials as of November 3, 2021.
Second.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes. Item B, considerations of bills for November 2021. Mr. Aragon.
Bills for November 2021, the total amount was $62,614.97. That went up significantly because we also had payout on our single entry point to Huerfano County for the month. So you will see those. We are calculating that per member per month based on their case count, is what they're receiving. So that's why you'll see an increase there.
That is a pass through transaction, though, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have any questions or concerns for bills for November 2021? Entertain a motion, please.
I move to approve the bills for November 2021.
Second motion. Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes. Payroll reports, consideration of payroll for payday December 3rd, 2021, and then payout material.
Commissioners, the payout for the pandemic payout was $45,000 for the Department of Human Services.
Just one question, Mr. Aragon, how was that received by staff?
I'm glad you asked. The staff are extremely grateful, commissioners, and many of them have asked me to convey that to the commissioners and to the county staff for allowing them to have that little extra. It was really helpful, especially at that time of year. It's very difficult for a lot of our staff. That, as well as the pay adjustments, have been very well received with staff, and so they're very excited. It's a renewed sense in the department, which is very helpful. So thank you.
Another question, entertain a motion, please.
Move for approval of payroll for payday December 3, 2021, and then payout.
I second the motion.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes. Item B, consideration of payroll for payday December 15, 2021. Prepared.
The total for payroll for payday December 15, 2021 was $77,420.53.
Any questions or concerns? If not, entertain a motion, please.
And motion to approve payroll for payday December 15, 2021.
Second motion. Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes. Item C, consideration of payroll payday December 19, 2021. Mr. Aragon.
Commissioners, the payroll for payday December 29, 2021 was $74,035.12.
No questions or concerns? Entertain a motion, please.
Move for approval of payroll for payday December 29, 2021 for $74,035.12. I second that motion.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes. If there is nothing else, we will entertain a motion to adjourn this time.
Motion to adjourn VHS meeting and resume the regular board conference meeting with the 5 minute recess. Second that motion.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Aragon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
to look at.
Come down and sign this stuff later.
Huh?
Sign this stuff later.
Kelly had given me also a